And today is a very special day for various things because we have an opportunity to worship the Lord. The second one, there are so many visitors today, and I welcome all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, those who are visiting here for the first time, and I hope your experience here will be a wonderful one. And there are two special guests here. One is Christina Stewart. Could you please stand up? And Gino, please stand up. You know, these two have something common. Both of them got married, and they are here without their spouse today. So we are so thankful to the Lord. You have been here, and I was there in your city last week, but I could not meet with you. But we are thankful to the Lord for what you are doing, and we are so happy, and we rejoice with you. Please be seated. And we will now start our sermon. That is knowing Jesus Christ through the miracles. And I would like to show you with a photograph. And before that, I also like to read a passage that is in Mark chapter 11, verse 12 onwards. Previously, I think 2 weeks back, we read the same chapter to talk about triumphal entry. And we will continue from there. This is an interesting miracle. Mark chapter 11, verse 12. The next day, that is the next day after Jesus' triumphal entry, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves. Because it was not the season for figs, then he said to the tree, May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. And verse 20, the continuation. In the morning, that is the next day morning, as they went along, they saw a fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus said. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. It is a powerful miracle story, and we will look at that. Before that, we will see some observations from the fig tree and also from the parable, from this passage. Could we go to the picture. This is a picture I took from City of David. This is a fig tree just before summer. This is how a fig tree looks. During the Passover season, somewhere in the middle of April, in Palestine, the fig trees produce edible buds. You know, it's not the fruit, but edible buds, followed by green leaves signifying the coming of summer. I think, you know, this photograph was taken about 2 weeks before the beginning of summer. See the lush green tree here? And this is what happened to Jesus. When he was coming from Bethany, he saw a fig tree, lush green. He went close to the tree, thinking that the tree had fruit, edible fruit, and he did not see anything. You know, it is somewhere in the middle of April. It was natural to look for edible fruit or edible buds in this tree. Absence of buds in this tree or this kind of tree which Jesus saw was an indication that the whole season, no one would be able to find any fruit in that. You know, there were several reasons why the fruit was not there in the tree. Probably internal. It was a barren tree. It could not produce any fruit. Or there must have been some hailstone or a severe winter either in February or March or something else. We don't know. But the tree had a lot of leaves showing that, you know, it was kind of attractive. You know, come to me, I have a lot of fruit. The reason for, it was reasonable for Jesus to wait for or look for some kind of fruit. When you miracle stories with this one, Jesus cursing the fig tree is the strangest of all the stories. Because all other stories, Jesus gives lives to people, healing to people, and, you know, directs them in the right direction. Whereas in this story, he curses his own creation. You know, that is what we are going to study today. What is the significance? We will look at the symbolic meaning of this miracle story. Jesus' cursing of the tree was not an angry reaction at the barren tree. Instead, it was a kind of dramatic symbolic action of what was going to take place for the nation Israel, and also a kind of education to the disciples that they must have faith and persist in prayer so that they will have more fruits. Let me repeat that again. Jesus was not angry at the barren tree. Instead, it was a dramatic action by which Jesus was telling his disciples what was going to take place for the nation Israel, and also telling his disciples that they must have faith and they must persist in prayer so that they will have more fruit. In a lush green tree, the one we saw in the picture symbolizes nation Israel. From far, it looks very attractive. But when you come closer, it is very deceptive. From far, you may think that there are a lot of fruits, but when you come close, it is nothing. It is something like, you know, you in early 80s and late 70s, people would have long antenna, and what if they don't have a TV? It is a kind of deception. Hey, I have a TV, you know, I'm a rich man, but when they come close to the house, there is no TV, only the antenna. It is something like, you know, from far, Jesus saw the tree, came very close, there was no fruit. You know, this was kind of picture of nation Israel. From far, they were very religious. They had temple, they had religious activities, they have the Torah, they have scribes. You know, you go any time of the day to a city of Jerusalem, there would be a lot of religious activities. But, you know, go close to them. There was religion, but there was no God. It is something like, you know, their life was inconsistent with their claims. You know, we can associate that with a lot of our religion these days. We have big claims, but no life. This incident is very important. In this passage, we see Jesus as the judge. You know, Bible teaches that Jesus is the judge. The judge that we see in the Gospels, that is the first in all four Gospels, a judge who comes around, walks around for 3.5 years, giving them an option to accept him so that he would not judge them. But when they lost their opportunity, you know, we know when Jesus comes again, he is going to come as a judge who is going to be seated on the throne. He would judge the righteous and the unrighteous. And he is going to definitely judge this world. And we, according to Revelation 22, that we are waiting for a new heaven and new earth to appear. Jesus is going to be the judge. And he is declaring it here that he is the judge, and he is showing several places he gave an opportunity. You know, some of the incidents show that Jesus was a judge. When people were thinking, is he a God? Jesus was able to understand them. When other places, when Jesus went, Jesus was able to understand even their thoughts. And this passage, Jesus dramatically, you know, as a kind of parable, he acts out that he is the judge by judging the tree, because the tree had all the appearance, but there was no life. You know, about 35 years later, after the incident, nation Israel was destroyed by Rome. And even today, the temple that was destroyed by Vespasian's son Titus, still not established. Nation Israel, over 2,000 years, they had scattered abroad. A lot of people got killed in Jerusalem, and they lost their identity, lost their land. They had been scattered everywhere. Now they are regrouping. Still, there is no temple. And Jesus, as a judge at that time, when he symbolized, you know, no, he was not angry with the tree, but he was saying, this is what going to happen to a nation that had all the appearance of religion, but they didn't have a God in them. They had all the activities, reading of the Torah, Levitical priesthood, high priest, temple, and festivals. But when he came offered to them to be their God, their king, and their Messiah, they rejected him. So this is an amazing miracle story. And it is kind of different from all other miracle stories. And you may ask, how does this passage affect us today? That is an important question. And in this miracle story, there are two things. One, he is speaking about the nation Israel. The other one is he is giving an education to his disciples. To the nation Israel that rejected Jesus Christ, it was going to be judged. But he is not looking at the disciples and saying, I'm not going to judge you, but I am expecting you fruit. That comes only through your faith in God and your persistent prayer. And you can, you know, it's almost Jesus is saying, you can also become a fruitless deceptive people. It's amazing. When Peter said, wow, Lord, see the tree that you cursed yesterday, it is withered, it is dried. And Jesus is saying, what is going to happen to nation Israel can also happen to you. You can be a deceptive, fruitless tree. You know, we have the Word of God. We have this kind of opportunity to come together and study the Bible, worship God, and ultimately, we need to be fruit-bearing followers of Jesus Christ. You know, I have a few questions to ask. It is to all of us. Are we guilty of false advertisement or projection of ourselves? Are we claiming so big, I'm an evangelical Christian? I have been studying so much. I have memorized so scripture. Or, you know, when Jesus comes to us, is he going to be guilt? You know, is he going to judge us the way he judged the tree? Are we covering up our spiritual bankruptcy with external spirituality? You know, all the time we're saying, praise the Lord, carry a big Bible with a lot of inserts in it, you know, with a big, you know, and the zip is old, and, you know, we say, you know, we have been using this for the last several years. Are we covering up our spiritual bankruptcy with external spirituality? It can happen. What is causing our fruit to wither away? You know, if we look at some of the plants, you know, my wife plants several things in our patio. Within 3 months, 4 months, we see some fruit. For last one and a half years, we have not bought curry leaves. And she went and, planted capsicum. What do you call that here in America? Bell pepper. And we started getting bell pepper. You know, you put a seed and you work on it, you get fruit. If there is no external or internal defect. If we were to evaluate us, we have to ask the question, what is something that is making us wither away all our fruit that is supposed to be there? Some of us have been followers of Christ for the last 4 years. Some of us 5 years. In my case, I've been a follower of Christ almost 24 years. Is Jesus looking at me and say, wow, I'm able to find some edible fruit in Subhash? Or am I covering up my spiritual bankruptcy by just preaching and going around and using a lot of spiritual jargons? Jesus is the judge. He is God himself. Man looks at the face. I can deceive you, but I can never deceive God. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, they thought they would be able to deceive God. But, you know, God is the judge. David, when David was going to be anointed by Samuel said, man looks at the face, But God looks deep inside our hearts because He is our judge. You know, we can put a lot of costume outside, but inside is what God knows. He is not interested in the cover-up. Someone said, oh, Taj Mahal is so beautiful. I like Taj Mahal. I used to go there and I just wonder how a human being can create like this. And one guy, he said, don't be deceived, there is dead body inside. You know, it is true. Taj Mahal is a grave for, two dead bodies are there. Nur Jahan and Taj and her husband. And the takeaway for today is this. Or, you know, Jesus suggests that we can also become like the fig tree. And that is what, you know, we have to be concerned about. God has placed us in a beautiful place. You know, the other day when I was praying with Judith, I told, we are better off than 90% of the world population. 90%! You know, we have the best road here, best houses here, wonderful environment, amazing education institutions. You go to churches, amazing churches. Amazing pews, and you name something, you have everything there. LCD projectors, sound system, live streaming, and weekday Bible schools, and weekend Bible schools, and Bible experts, you know, some with PhD, some with THM, and all these things are there. And when we compare ourselves with people from other place, they have not even heard the gospel once. When I was speaking to some people, I said, you don't have the right to hear the gospel one more time before other person hears at least once. You know, we have been hearing and we have become desensitized. But other place, they are waiting for the gospel to be heard. You know, God would not place us in a place where we are surrounded by non-Christians if He were to just visit them directly without our mediation. If there is a non-Christian in our workplace, if there is a non-Christian in our friends group, or if there is a person who has not heard the gospel around us, if we are there, that is a reason. There is a reason. The fruit God expects us to be there is that we will become light of the world. Jesus said to His disciples, you cannot hide the light. You cannot hide the light. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel. They will always keep the light on the top. And a lot of us, you know, sadly, our light is in safe and lock. What is the takeaway we can take from this passage today? Or from this miracle today? Is this. Cultivate carefully your spiritual root so that you will bear fruits. That is what Jesus said. When Peter said, Lord, your tree, you know, he was amazed at Jesus' words. But Jesus says, believe in God, persistent in prayer, have faith, so that you will have fruits. When I look at Subhash, when I look at, your family, you will have fruit that is useful. I don't want to see you a deceptive follower of Christ. I don't want you to be bankrupt of any usefulness. You know, there are other parables. We see one parable, a guy comes and says, I'm going to cut this tree because this is not bearing fruit. Another person is mediating. Give me one more year. Let us try. I think Jesus, our mediator, is interceding for a lot of us, saying, give us some more time. Let them hear a little bit more. And we have to carefully cultivate our spiritual roots. Jesus said in John 15, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you can bear a lot of fruit. And if you don't abide in whatever you do, whatever manure you put for yourself, you can do nothing. That is the main passage that, you know, I spoke to some of our leaders several times is, you know, without God, we can do nothing, zero. But with God, we can do amazing things. If God can change a fisherman to a person who can change the world upside down, He can make you and me. William Carey said this one when he was leaving from England to Calcutta. Attempt great things for the Lord and expect great things from the Lord. We expect great things from the Lord, but are we attempting great things for Him? If we want to attempt great things for Him, first of all, we have to see that our branch, we are perfectly remaining in Christ. Jesus says in John 15, you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. And without that, we cannot do that. You know, for some reason, like that tree, for external reasons, like hailstones or extreme snow or some kind of blight that came and destroyed the edible buds when Jesus went, or some of the internal reason that it was a barren tree. You know, if there is any reason that is preventing us like that, you know, our company, our associations, that is preventing us from bearing fruit this evening, let us just ask the Lord, Lord, you help me to identify those fruits. I should never remain a fruitless follower of Christ from today onwards. You know, Jesus is not going to judge the way He judged the fig tree. But He will ask us, I have been working on you so much. What is your response? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Precious God, our loving Heavenly Father, you have given us this wonderful life, all the privileges, so that we will bear fruit. Lord, we realize that we can bear fruit, but we cannot bear fruit without you. Therefore, this evening, Heavenly Father, we come to you and pray that you will show us the places where we have fallen off, where we are deceiving you, where we are deceptive. We pray that you will show us, Heavenly Father. May your word work in our hearts, not just in our minds. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will, Lord, stir our hearts. And Lord, help us to become dynamic. Help us to, Lord, put our roots deep down where we can get our minerals and our water. And Lord, we will bear fruit for you. Whatever you are expecting from us, Heavenly Father, we pray that we will be able to do that. We thank you for our friends and families here. Bless them, Lord. Lord, we want to serve you and serve you alone. And you will help us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name we pray. Amen.